week three review or wrap up. I kind of hope some things are coming together as you process where we're at going into week four. The thing that I want you to sort of get from this, right, is in terms of how to live a good life, going back to the model of circumstance, affect, and agency, is really recognizing how situations affect you, right? How you feel about them, the emotions that go with it. And then really the problem that we run into is we're often not aware that that is our governing system. We're often not in control. We think we are, but we're really just sort of reacting. So looking the last 2 weeks, really, that was the point of the self-rating exercises, is for you to sort of look at what are the things going on around you and how do they affect you, right? We really haven't talked about addressing those yet, but in terms of acknowledging that good and bad things, you know, situations, circumstances, people, what have you, affect you. And most of the time, we're not even aware of it. So just as a point of order, this is not the one that I use, but I do use a self-rating system every day, just so that I know kind of what's going on in my own head and I can kind of plan the day and reflect on that day. So just because these exercises are kind of complete here at week three, it doesn't mean you have to stop doing them. I've been doing a self-rating exercise like this for, close to a year, maybe. I kind of lost track. And it's smart. You can start to kind of put an idea of like, what are the things that really bother you? What are the things that really make you happy or keep you going, motivated? And you can kind of plan around that, right? That's where the agency stuff sort of kicks in. Now, the second piece that goes with all of this, in the discussions, is last week we sort of talked about needs, and that's part of what we find out in these self-rating sort of inventories or exercises, is that sometimes we're really upset because a need's not being met. Like some of us, not me necessarily, but some people are like highly relational or upset when relationships aren't going well. Some of us are really kind of achievement or goal oriented, and that can be me, and I'm really upset when those things aren't being met, those sorts of needs, or anything that sort of speaks to our level of security. Again, thinking about Maslow's hierarchy, for example, those basic needs, moving on to the things that make us feel like part of a community or sense of belonging, and then ultimately a sense of importance or self-actualization. So when those needs aren't being met through certain circumstances, those affect us. And we should recognize that. And based on those needs, oftentimes our brain chemistry and otherwise have kind of shaped narratives, psychologically speaking, or personality traits or dispositions or behaviors of this is how we now engage and encounter the world, right? That's all MBTI is, or a DISC assessment or Enneagram. They kind of give you an idea of, again, you have to reflect on and go, oh, these are the things that make me happy. These are the things that make me upset. And really, you start to realize that you've been reacting, right? There's sort of a model in your brain that's been working. So for some people, I kind of pointed this out in a couple of the Enneagram posts that, for example, like I'm a type five, which is typically really withdrawn and kind of deep task oriented, maybe we'll put it that way. Just for the rest of you who aren't familiar with it. But when I'm healthy, I start to take on sort of the healthy behaviors of an eight, and I can kind of take charge and I start trying to help people and do things. That's not normally me, but when I'm really healthy and in a safe space, I can do that. And then when I'm really kind of frustrated, I start kind of like finding things to distract me and taking on sort of the unhealthy traits of a type seven. And the reason I use that is you do that without knowing it, right? So when you kind of do the self-rating exercise, you can kind of, maybe if you know your Enneagram type or MBTI, you go, oh, wow, I'm actually following these patterns. That's why they exist. So we want to get to a point of you can recognize these patterns, and then you can start sort of taking control of them, saying, okay, so if I don't want to be this way, then how should I respond, right? And this is truly, this is like even old leadership stuff, like 30 years ago. Stephen Covey, in his book, I can't even remember. I've got the stupid book on my desk, but the reason he starts off with being proactive is we have to sort of break the cycle of stimulus reaction, it goes stimulus, pause, response. And that's what I want you to do with these sort of self-rating exercises, is to say, oh, I can push pause and choose a different way of being or existing about this. And, right, you can sometimes, when you push pause, you realize that, like, those are sometimes the positive and or negative behaviors coming out based on that. So that's how all of that sort of fits together. One of the ways we're going to talk about kind of using that pause and taking some agency is in the next couple of weeks, we're going to change exercises, and they're going to be gratitude exercises. And for you to really think about, what are things that you're grateful for every single day? And we'll go over those the next 2 weeks. But I will tell you, much like these exercises, you don't have to stop, right? When the exercise is over, you're going to find out that it's really beneficial for you to keep going. So for, again, example, I've been doing a gratitude journal for several years. It's important. We'll talk more about why it's important as we go through here the next 2 weeks. One thing just to note, and I'll mention again in my weekly sort of reminder, you do have sort of like a midtermish kind of paper due, and there's pretty detailed instructions available already in the week 4 section. But you guys are doing great. Keep up the good work.